Hey Backspin community, my name is Leon. Today I have the darkest rhymer since DMX dropped that cover with blood all over his body. He's part of the Flatboy Zombies. I'm a huge fan. I gotta be honest, so I'm being a little biased today in this interview, but he got his first solo album out next week. It's called Gothic Luxury. Hi Michi, how you doing?
Feeling good. That was a hell of an introduction, man. Hell of an introduction. Appreciate it,
man. Man, I was just going through like your list of quotables and I was like, okay, I need one quotable. Which one should I choose? And I chose this one specifically because it's true. You are the darkest rhymer, I think, if you listen to your music and also like the things that you say, and especially your voice and how you say it. It's just like a breath of fresh air for the last decade, I guess. And man, like the first thing I want to know, like, why did it took you so long to do this solo debut album?
I feel like there wasn't time to do it before. It may look like there was time, but if I did a solo project before, it wouldn't have had the same intent. I make music with like intention and intent. It can't just be for, sure, I make songs with shits and giggles, but like for the most part, I make music with the intent. It has to have some kind of intention behind it. And I felt like if I did it before, it would have been good rapping. Sure, you would have got great bars, but what would it really stand for? What would it really mean? And I had ideas back then, but taking time to go do that, what we had going on with Zombies, it was just way more fruitful. And it felt, you know, we already have something going on that's so beautiful over here. I don't want to really hop off the train, you know. Yeah. This is a great running machine. Let's just keep this shit going until it's... But the reason why I did start this project is because COVID and all this stuff happened, so the world kind of shut down. So, you know, me, Eric, and Juice was on the road nonstop for like 8 years or something like that. During COVID, we finally got a time to for ourselves and to sit down a little bit. So that gave us all the opportunity to be like, hey, perfect time for all of us to do a solo project because it's not hurting anybody.
But was it also like, okay, we can't tour anymore and now everything changed, but did your work on this album change? Especially when you compare it to like Flatboy Zombie work, of course you're alone in the studio, but I guess like you still got people around you. Mm. Was it like, okay, it's time for me now? I'm going in the booth completely dark, completely by myself. Or do you still like hang around with those guys or especially just like with anybody?
Well, for this process, especially with COVID going on, and then us being like at different parts of, there was a time during COVID where I was in New York for the beginning half of that while Eric and Juice were in California, and then I came to California to finish the album off. So, you know, there was a lot of isolation. I did make a lot of this music alone, not alone in the fucking studio with no engineer, nothing like that. But I didn't have Eric and Juice pull up to every session while I make this, you know, because they need to go figure out what they want their thing to sound like also. It's very important for me to, especially if we're all gonna like spend this time to do something, to give each other the space, the creative space, to do this, because I want to hear what Juice makes on his own. Like I know Juice and I want to hear it. You know, I know Eric and I want to hear it, and I want to listen and know I didn't impede on this at all. And if I'm needed, then they'll call me and ask me and say, hey, come here, man. I want you to help me with this. I need this with that. We'll talk, we'll send each other music. But for the most part, I didn't really want to impede on their process because I wanna be a fan. I wanna hear that shit the same way you wanna hear it. And I want to be surprised the same way you're surprised.
But did you do the writing at first? And then like you did the album with Dr. Genius together.
Yes, sir.
So was that like the first idea? Okay, if I'm doing my solo project, I need to have Dot for the beats. Or was it just like, okay, I got this idea in my mind how everything should sound. And like, I think Dr. Genius, especially when he started off with Cardi, he's like the person to go to if you want this dark, trippy, kind of melodic hip hop beats. So how did that come along?
With me, man, when it comes to music, I don't force anything. Everything I do happens organically. It's friendships. I don't really make music with people that I don't gravitate towards on either creative or just on a, I just fuck with this person's energy. So like when I was first making the album, I didn't have a specific person in mind to executive produce. I was going to try to just do it on my own, but you can't let your arrogance, your confidence, you can't let it, you know, go too far. And I also understand you need somebody like that to help you form the sound that you really want to make. So during my process of getting beats from different producers and stuff, I was in the studio with Denzel Curry. He made me record a verse for a song on his album originally, and Dot produced that song. So me and Dot connected from me rapping on that beat. And then, you know, I said, yeah, I want to link up with him. You know, he's from Brooklyn, from the same place. Respect him as a producer and what he's done. Need to link up with him. I ended up linking up, and me and him just hit it off. We have mad shit in common, you know what I mean? So, yeah, we just fucked with each other from then. And then, you know, I rapped on another beat that day, and then I'm just like, y'all really fuck with this guy, man. Like, I have a trust. You have to trust. Music is sacrifice, you know what I mean? So you have to trust people. And I feel like I had a good, like, energy with him. So I was like, you know what? Would you executive produce my album? He was like, yeah, sure. It was just that simple. Nothing crazy. I didn't have like a crazy Ocean's 11 heist type plan to try to get it done. It was more like, I never try to force anything like that when it comes to the art. You know what I'm saying?
So it was always like that also in the beginning, because I can imagine, especially as like a young rapper when coming up, you'd be like, okay, I think nowadays it's way harder, because nowadays it's okay, next week my single is nobody cares anymore. But I think like when you came up, was it always like that? Okay, I'm not trying to force it. I just do my thing. Or was it, okay, maybe we need to put something out like every couple of months, or like a project once a year? Or you always been like, okay, I don't feel it today. I'm not going to the studio. I'm not forcing myself.
It ain't even about not feeling it. It's just about like, I make mad music that like, it might just be a song, but like, what does this song mean? What is it? What is the purpose? You know, you ever listen to someone's album when they're dead and it's mad songs that's just like, this shit is cool, but you know why it doesn't hit? Because it didn't have purpose. He probably just, or she probably just made that song just to make it. We're artists, we make things. But like, even sometimes you might have music and it might not be, the world might not be ready. You know, you might have music where the sound of music is not ready for what you're trying to do. And you might be too early. There's many different things with music. Like, so it's not really about never, it's never a time when I don't want to write or record, unless I just want to live life a little bit to experience. But anytime I experience life, it makes me want to write. So it was never really like that. It's just more about what makes the most sense. And then it's, you can't be in five places at once. If you're going to be touring most 75% of the year, you get home for Christmas, you get home for like another, you get like 3 months home to lock in and finish an album on that time. You know, you really got to schedule your life, and it's three of us. So, you know, it's not as simple as, all right, let's just finish the album. And Eric and Juice are like, sure, I'm going to put my life to the side. We're all just going to stop everything and finish the album. It's like it's a planning process. And yeah, and I think it makes the songs that we have more personable, if that makes sense, because it's not like someone's catalog that has 40,000 songs where at some point some of them just start to sound like the same shit. You're hearing the same shit over and over again. I'd rather be this way, to be honest.
I totally get that. I think that's also the point why you and you guys especially have like this big fandom. I mean, like if you're looking nowadays, like streaming services, like you can compare numbers with everybody, but you really have like a solid fan base because you were grinding for your whole life, and just like on a really like organic way and not be too pushy. And then you're doing like all these other things that, because you said you can't be in five places in your head at one time, but sometimes I have the feeling that you guys are like, you're doing like merchandise, then all of a sudden graphic novel, every EP that you do, you get like your own vinyl, and all by yourself. So how does this thought of like, okay, I'm independent, is shifting that?
It takes a lot of planning. That's why I said to do all that, and then to, you know, it takes a lot of planning to get all that done. It's a miracle that we get most of the stuff we get done, but it just shows the power of like manifestation. You think about an idea, you do it. It's just dedicating yourself to the idea. You open a can of worms and say, yo, we want to do a graphic novel. Once you start that shit, we got to finish it. So we tend to sign up for shit like that because we know we can step up to the challenge. But I think like moving forward, you also got to remember music has changes every year, how we consume music. Sure, it's on streaming, but streaming gets more complicated. When we first came out, streaming wasn't even a thing. You know, merchandise for artists wasn't even as big as it is now. Now everybody has merchandise. So much things that like we were doing, it's not general. It becomes like common. So you got to figure out how to still be yourself in a time where other people are doing, not to say your blueprint, but what is like common for you to do. So there's so much different obstacles around that. And then also you just want to enjoy life and go on tour this fucking music that we worked real hard on. So yeah. I don't want to look back at my life with all this fun shit I'm doing with my bros and be like, damn, in our youth, we fucking, all we did was, you know, we didn't really get time to really soak everything in. Because I talk to some people sometimes that do music or had it, they had a good run. They had 5 years or 2 years or some shit like that. And they were moving so fast, they didn't get to soak everything in. Like, I can honestly say I toured the world with my friends, like legit friends, like people I grew up with, knew my whole life and shit like that. So that is more important than being in the studio 5 months out of the year when nobody sees me. And then I release some songs and it's like, it's cool. But like, the victory means more when we do it together, you know?
I totally get that. I also, when I did my notes for the new project, I was thinking, okay, like, you are a person, when you look from the outside, it doesn't seem that you fuck with so many artists in the music industry. And you touched on that in the beginning of the interview. But I think you are like one of the biggest fans for hip hop in general, because I remember when you did the show in Cologne, you performed Facts and you went in there and was like, this is with my favorite artist I've grew up with Jadakiss, the song. And you'd be like, so everybody has to sing it. And I would never believe that I could do it. And you did an Instagram live stream where you said, I want to get a lot of people on the album. And one person was Tyler, the Creator. And I watched it and my eyes just went like bright open and be like, that would be the dopest shit I would ever hear. But what did happen? Why did that whole Tyler, the Creator thing did not work out?
Tyler, the Creator, is a busy man. You got to stop him and slow him down and get him. He's not an easy man to stop. And he also got to be interested in it, you know. But I also am somebody that's like, I ain't going to force nothing. So when the time is right, it's on my bucket list. There's a lot of things on my bucket list that might take 4 years, you know. But I do want to make some music with Tyler. I really do. I want him to fucking direct the music video for me. Actually, last time I seen him, I literally said to him, when are you going to start doing movies, nigga? I said, whenever you do a movie, you better get me as an extra, because I know that's coming soon. So I don't know why there's a misconception that I hate. Like, I love rap. I love rap. I love hip hop. I don't hate. I can't name one artist right now that I hate. Like, I just don't. I don't even hate the Island Boys. Like, I don't hate anything. Like, hate is a strong word, you know? This shit opens doors for people and changes people's lives generationally, even if it's bullshit, you know, still. It's still crazy that something that came from, like, you know, the streets, not even too long ago, some of these people that are making millions of dollars can't even name you one motherfucker from that started the shit. Shows you how far it got. So for me, it's like, I'm never gonna be mad. I don't hate none of these motherfuckers. I just think it's just the way I rap and my approach and the way I look, it makes people feel like they're intimidated or like I feel like I don't like this. I'm like, I'm not above none of this shit. I love this shit the same as much as anybody else. You know, it's actually mad funny. I was chilling with somebody the other day and I was listening to mad music and they were like, you don't really play the music I thought you'd play. And I'm like, what am I supposed to play? Well, I mean, I didn't expect you to be just playing Kodak Black all day. And I'm like, what do you want me to play Grandmaster Caz or some shit? Like, what am I supposed to be? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm a fan of good music. I'm a music guy first.
Also, there's like a big problem in like the view that like hip hop heads and hip hop fans have nowadays, also on like the new generation. There's like everybody has to say something meaningful, and it's not what music is about, but we got some artists for that. And you are one of those artists. When I was listening to your album, and especially like the first single, Can't Kill Us All, like when that shit came out, I was just like, you're doing social criticism, but not on like a, like, I don't want to say too much. You'd be like, okay, society, this is your face. Look at it. Fucking look at it. So how important was just like this whole criticism factor? Because it was always in your music, but that you stay with that and be like, okay, my first single need to be something people can vibe to. But you can still vibe to that. But in the same time, you're getting like, okay.
Well, the creation of the song, I think, comes first. It's like, my intent is never to be political. Like, I don't know how to say it. When I make a song, it's rare that I'm really like, especially on topics like that, my brain is not saying, this is the political song. This is the song for the streets. I just make the music. And that's just what the beat told me to write. And that's what my brain just said, just touch on as much of these topics as you can. But I normally don't rap I rap about so much crazy shit, but I never want to be a preacher. You know what I'm saying? There's a way to say things without making people feel like you're criticizing them for having different views or preaching to them. And like, that's a big thing to me. Like, I hate when it feels preachy. So, you know, just want to get to the intent of the song first. And as far as releasing it as a first single, it's been a long time since anybody's ever, like, you know, since anybody's heard from me. And then so much shit is going on in the world. And then, you know, people view me as a, you have a responsibility sometimes where people view you as a voice or someone that should say certain things or touch on certain topics. So although there might have been another song, other songs I felt like could have been the first single, I decided to go with that because I felt like I would have not let people down, but I feel like it was needed for me to say those things first. Especially right now, since no one's really gonna really make their first single some shit like that. That's like an album cut for people and shit like that. I decided to go first with that. Yeah, it's me. It's a song. It's definitely, it encapsulates me because I can do a whole album like that. You know, I just rather jam pack it all into fucking one song because nobody else can do that shit.
There were like a lot of topic to just like digest at first, but I love how it came out. And also like this line, what if freedom is just an illusion on the album, just sticks to me all the time. It really makes my brain just go crazy because I think about it all the time. So how do you define yourself freedom?
Well, I don't know what freedom is. You know, we are all confined to something. Love, we're confined to our habits, our fears. You know, I don't really know what true freedom is. Maybe true freedom is not caring about a damn thing at all. But then if you're not caring about anything, do you do anything? And if you're not doing anything, are you free? Who knows? It's all a paradox. You know, I'm into that. That's how I think. So I was like, I'm more upset if it's like, what if what we're fighting for doesn't truly exist? Like, if you're fighting for freedom, whether it be creative freedom, whether it be freedom of speech, whether it be whatever the fuck it may be, what if like the shit you're fighting for really doesn't exist, because there is no true freedom, because there's always going to be something that can confine you from whatever you look at or whatever like the thing that you're trying to get to, whether it be law, politics, whether it be economic, whether it be geographic, whether it be personal, mental, spiritual. So it's going to be something that can come up to stop you from that. And then, so that's just how my brain works. Even though it might be just one little line like that, that my brain thinks about all those things. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's like an onion sometimes with certain bars.
I think it's like, as you said, like my brain went the same when I was listening to that song and hearing that line. And also then I thought about it and I found something really, really interesting in the whole body of work, because I saw freedom from the point that you are rapping about and the things that you rap about, just like as your life in general. And I have like a crazy, like, this is kind of a conspiracy theory that I did for myself for your album. And you can say anything. If you be like, okay, that's the biggest bullshit I've ever heard. But for me, like when your album, it's starting off with your birth. So 1989, Deborah gave birth to a loaded gun. And the last song, Black Magic, is all about your dad. So for me, this whole album is just like one life cycle of you. And it made me think like so much things. And then I went deeper. And of course, Flatbush Zombies, Glorious Dad, like that was always just like this main topic. And I could never understood what you see in it. Is it sometimes it's fear when I listen to that one song. On the other hand, it's just like the last escape. On the other hand, it's just like that thing that could never catch me. Like what is your side on this whole topic? Because it's just like the main thing on the album and also in your whole career.
Well, death been around me a lot, you know, in my life. Also find death fascinating. It's the inevitable, something that we all got to deal with. The baddest motherfucker on the planet that can knock everybody out, he gonna die one day. The most beautiful woman, she gonna die one day. You know, the biggest tree on the fucking planet Earth is gonna die one day. You know, the biggest fucking lion in the jungle, he gonna die one day. She gonna die, actually, because the female lions be bigger. But, you know, death is inevitable, and it's something that you can't escape, and something that we all got in common. but it's also something that most people are so afraid to talk about. So I find it fascinating that everyone's so afraid of the thing that we have all have in common, you know. And it doesn't, I don't know, I don't think about, I'm not super conscious of it. You know, I know that's the underlying thing. I know that's something that people are afraid of when they're afraid to approach my music. Maybe that's something that people think I'm into dark stuff and weird shit. But, you know, it's just like life. It's part of life. I'm a duality guy. I talk about life as well. I talk about how hard living is, you know. It's just that I think death is way more fascinating because we really don't know. You know, if someone told you to write a movie about going to another planet in outer space, the sky's the limit. You can fucking write about anything because you don't know what's going on over there. Death, you don't know what's happening. So it's like, it's infinite. My mind can travel. I can talk about how my family's going to react when I'm gone, how I'm going to react when someone I love is gone, how my fans are going to react to the music. Like, what happens to my spirit? What happens to my body? There's so much different subjects with death in itself. So it's like, I don't fear it as much as the average man personally. And maybe that's just my comfort, you know, but I do want to stop talking about it a little bit because I feel like I've touched on it enough, you know, so there's other things to talk about.
Yeah, I can totally understand, but there were some wise words that you said, especially when like your music is full of it. And for me personally, it made me think a lot more, going deeper in that and thinking a lot more. But did like the whole spiritual part of you help you a lot dealing with such topics, but just in life in general, thinking about it, like the spiritual? I know, like, for example, another part of Flatbush Zombies is of course psychedelic drugs, but you always been like, not like in a harming way, in like a, we use this thing.
What you mean? It's not a well, you know, it's actually funny because spirituality is, you know, I do thank psychedelics for some form of awakening, of course. But a lot of spirituality, especially as you get older and you go into your mind and your memory and think, or you talk to your family and you realize like a lot of stuff is in you from when you're young, you know. I come from a very spiritual family to begin with, so maybe that's why when I did take psychedelics, I gravitated to it so much, because, you know, I'm already a believer of so much different things. You know, I didn't have that closed mind. I never was a closed minded person. It wasn't like I was seeing in black and white, and the second I took psychedelics, everything was color. I was already seeing the color. This just made me see colors I didn't know even existed. That's what psychedelics did for me. I always want to thank psychedelics for that. But when it comes to spirituality, a lot of that comes from my family and what they've taught me or spoke to me about, books they've given me, just me listening to the older people around me and just taking notes and coming with my own conclusions. And I try to put spirituality in the music a little bit, but not to be too preachy or too much, because I feel like it's your own thing. You know, there's so much different ways you can heal your soul and free your soul and free your spirit that might not work for me per se, or that can open your mind. You know, I know a lot of people whose lives change off of yoga and exercise alone. They might not need a tab. Then I know people who microdose and it's changed your life forever for the good. So yeah, spirituality and psychedelics definitely have a connection, but I would say, you know, it was definitely in me, Eric and Juice, from beforehand. You know, Juice's grandmother's a damn pastor, for Christ's sake. So, you know, he's always been raised around just the Bible in general, even though that's more religious, he's always been a spiritual kid. So something that's natural, you know, just like the death thing. Those are things that I just gravitate towards naturally, you know.
Yeah, I think this whole spirituality thing is like in common society, like you can either look like, you have a lot of people that look at spirituality as like a joke, that it's not like I think people are too straight and like too close-minded, as you said that, but like the biggest artists, when you think about it, are always like those people that wear really spirituality, no matter if it's like Jimi Hendrix, or I always think about like Rick Rubin when thinking about spirituality, like a guy that just goes to another artist and sits with him and talks about like all this stuff, all this feeling, gets the best out of him. So do you think like this whole open-minded thing helped you a lot to be more creative or like craft your art?
Yeah, of course. It keeps me on a not even a path, because it makes you thinking, like, I don't even want to say that it gives me tunnel vision, because it's like the opposite of tunnel vision. I'm going straight, but I can see all around me. If that makes sense. You know, I don't even know if that's straight. Is what is up, what is down at that point. But yeah, open your mind. Even that phrase, it just I try to live my life like that. You know, one time I was talking to Nick Caution, and he was like, "Man, you know, you should have like a TV show or something." Because like, you're like the fucking, you play the devil's advocate so good. You can see every side of everything. It's so fucking annoying, you know. Like, you know, it's because I like to just think deeply on things. Sometimes very fast too. I just try to find not the fucking loophole, but like, oh, I can see how someone else can think this because people think like this. They use deductive reasoning all the time and stuff, because, you know, and I do that with music, I do that with creating, I do that with everything I try to do. And sometimes it's you're seeing too much. Sometimes you do have to, you know, alter it, and my mind is too goddamn open, and I have to simplify things, because, you know, when you're looking so vast and thinking so vast, it's hard to just bring that to everybody and explain what the fuck you're looking at. It's like a painting. If me and you are looking at a painting with a magnifying glass, you might get so close you don't know what the fuck you're looking at. So you got to step back, put the magnifying glass away, step back and look at it and be like, okay. And then you put the magnifying glass back, and then you go back to where you was. So that's how I kind of look at it, if that answers the question.
So was that also like the whole thing that the pandemic did to you, just like take a step back, look from the outside and then step back in and just go straight at it? Or how could you say that?
Yeah, kinda, sorta, no. Because I went through a lot during the beginning of the pandemic. I lost my father. So like that kind of, you know, still dealing with that as far as grief and shit like that. So yeah, I didn't really have the wits that I normally have, where I could, like, I was moving a little bit different. I'm also making music with establishing a new relationship with a producer for the first time, you know, and living in a different city for the first time, just dealing with a lot of changes to get this album done. So yeah, I would say it's a different kind of transition. I didn't really use a lot of the tactics that I normally use to my formula wasn't the same formula. I had to make, you know, some new recipes and shit like that, which is good because I still know my old formulas. You know, sometimes you can't always lean on what you've always done. And that's kind of what the album is really about, which is funny because it's like title Gothic Luxury just means to me like finding comfort in the darkness, you know? So it's like, this is what I literally have to do. That's what my life is all about. And that's kind of what I did during the whole process of making this album.
And were some beautiful words. The last thing I really want to know, because I need to see it. I saw you did your first solo show. Was it your first solo show? Probably, yeah, right.
First ever.
The first ever. How did that feel? Not having like your two best friends with you on stage, but okay, now the stage is completely yours, and there are some people that are screaming like, okay, it was before your release, but especially the singles, like they were screaming every word to Can't Kill Us All. So how did that feel to you? Was it a different experience than like a Flatbush Zombie tour with world tour in another city?
Oh, it's gonna be a different experience because, like you said, I don't got somebody to the left or the right of me to like say the last word of this fucking verse while I'm running out of breath or whatever the case is. But it was a beautiful experience, honestly. It's hard to really describe because it happened so fast. And I'm listening to the music for the first time live too. So I'm enjoying the music on stage. It's kind of like I wasn't there, if that makes sense. I'm performing the songs, but I didn't treat it like I was really, really like, oh shit, it's Coachella, and I got to make sure I got the best set of it because so and so is going to see. It was more like a, you know, let's listen to this music live and see where it goes kind of shit. And so I had so much fun on the stage, bro. I can't even tell you if I made mistakes. I can't tell you if I slipped on words. I couldn't tell you shit. I was just happy. And it's funny. It's good to see like the reaction to some of these songs, how I wrote some of the bars and the choruses. When I said it one time, by the second time I said it, they already knew it. So it was like, it showed me that some of the shit that I thought I was doing right, I was doing right. So I just can't wait to go on tour, bring the show on the road, and then, you know, really see how far we could take this solo show type shit, because I really want to learn how to get the same amount of energy I can give with the guys alone. Or if I can't give the same energy, give just as good of a experience, because it's all about an experience to me. You know, it's not really about just jumping up and down. I want you to leave like, all right, that's one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And if you see something else, you're always going to remember that show, regardless of the size of the room, regardless of if we don't have Billboard number one songs or whatever the case may be, because it's about the experience.
I think especially the Flatbush Zombies and you were always just about the experience, giving like your fans a good time, like a memorable time, memorable like albums, projects out. I also think that your next solo project will be memorable for the next, I don't know, like it's out there. Gothic Luxury, you can catch it next week. And man, I'm super hyped. I was listening. I was one of the first who could listen to it outside. I also saw that you sent your fans like an MP3 player, like some of the fans. Also, like one of the best promo moves I ever saw, man, giving back like the people that are supporting you guys for the last decade. I'm super happy that you talked to me. I'm very glad. So guys out there, listen to Gothic Luxury by Michi Darko next week. And do you have any last words for the people out there in Germany, in Europe, or around the world? I don't care where you're sitting right there and listening to it.
Open your mind. That's it. Open your mind. Stay blessed. Stay positive. Keep creating. You know, that's about it. And I'm all about the creating, man. Create until you drop dead. That's it. That's what we're here for.